Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. The great Creator. And then that we can also sing, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee.
Through
Reading today from Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to the end of the chapter. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you and among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. When I read this, I think of two things particularly. One is, Christ said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is here, the gospel. Made peace through the blood of his cross. And also I think of another saying of Christ, to pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers to go into the fields which are whiter than the harvest and where the laborers are few. Paul describes Christ, but he also speaks of himself as one that preached Christ, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I have radio listeners that call sometimes and wonder if there's a church in their area, wonder if there's anyone preaching the truth as Paul here preached it, and how we need to pray that there will be in every area, in every neighborhood, those like Paul to preach the gospel to every creature. We need that, and we need to pray for it. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks first of all for thy loving the world and giving Christ. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, that thou hast come down to earth to live, to teach, to be humbled, to die, to be buried, to rise again, and in that way giving us the gospel, as Paul could describe it, giving the gospel of thy dying according to the scripture, telling us already long before that it would take place, giving the promise to Adam, the promise to Abraham, Isaiah speaking of it, and David, and others. And we pray, Father, that we might know those promises have been fulfilled in thy coming, in thy living here on earth, that we may know thy teaching, but we may know above all the gospel, that thou hast shed thy blood on the cross for sinners, for us, if we know we are sinners. And we pray, Father, that we might know it rightly, that we may not forget it, that we may not move away from the hope of the gospel, that we might do as Paul here exhorted these at Colossae to continue in the way of the gospel, and said, if you continue, we know, Lord Jesus, that thou didst also teach that, telling some in thy audience that if they would continue in the word, then they would be thy disciples, thy learners, and they would know the truth, and the truth would set them free. Help us to know both the bondage that we are in and the way of freedom, Lord Jesus, in Thyself, in Thee, the Son of God, in Thee, the Savior of the world, in Thee, named Jesus, because Thou wouldst save Thy people from their sins. And we pray that that may be again known in truth and in power, that it might be preached as Paul preached it, that it might be heard as these at Corinth heard it, and those at Thessalonica heard it, not in word only, but in power, with Thy Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. And we pray for that again to be given in clarity and fullness, in that which will give glory to Thy grace. And Father, that we may know it is all from Thee to us, even as we read here, that Thou hast reconciled us to Thyself, not we reconciling ourselves to Thee, even though we are called to be reconciled. We pray, Father, that that message may go forth to all nations, as, Lord Jesus, You commanded it, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations in Thy name, beginning at Jerusalem. And we pray that it might begin at home today, and it might also be in that city still named Jerusalem, Zion's holy hill. We pray that especially the gospel may be known there to Jew and to Gentile. We pray, Father, for that blessing also in temporal needs. We give thanks for we having those needs met in such abundance. We give thanks that it has come in the sunshine and the rain, that we have such abundance of food and raiment. We pray for those who do not have these blessings, that are without homes, without food, without raiment, without shelter, being driven from their land, many of them, the terribleness of war. We pray for those also where there is famine, where there has been fire, where there has been wind and destruction. We pray for that mercy on them, and we pray especially that these things might be chastenings, that they may know that this life is but a vapor, and that they, all of us, are to prepare for life eternal, and that we need both the bread for the day, our daily bread, as Thou dost teach us to pray, but above all, that we need Thee, Lord Jesus, the bread of heaven. And we pray in Thy name, giving thanks for all that is given, and pray, Father, for all that is needed, that Thou would show it to us and then give it to us through Christ. Amen. We have here these words spoken to a church that had its beginning, evidently a Gentile church, beginning at this time, a number of years after Christ lived, died, ascended. We do not know how long before Paul wrote this letter to them that they had their beginning. We do not read of it like we do of some of the churches in the book of Acts, but we did read earlier in past weeks in verse 13 of the same chapter, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. This was not known to the Gentile world for those number of years. We do not know exactly who and all those that knew it before the time of Abraham, before the time of God's promise to him and to his seed that was special, and especially through Abraham's seed, which was Christ, when he said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And also, as Peter would say later, quoting those words, "To you first, God hath blessed you in turning every one of you from his iniquities." And as Paul said, writing to the church at Rome, a Gentile church, but also writing to the Jews, they're addressing them directly, particularly in chapter 2, and saying the gospel was to be preached to the world, but to the Jew first. And that did take place for a great number of years, from the time of Abraham till the time of Christ. And then particularly as Paul said to some of those Jews, "Seeing you cast it from you, lo, we go to the Gentiles." And we read here in verse 26 and 27 of this first chapter of Colossians, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now it was made known to the Gentiles. Earlier it had been made known to the seed of Abraham. David said, "I see the Lord always on my right hand, and I shall not be moved." The Lord Jesus said, "Abram saw my day and was glad." He was a believer long before Christ was born, and others as well spoke of him. And we knew that they had faith in him. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain his brother, by which he testified and still speaks, even though he is dead. He still speaks to us as one that believed, did this by faith. Faith in what that sacrifice pictured, what it was a shadow of. Christ coming, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Son of God taking on him the form of a man. And that must be believed, because it is true. As we can read, Emmanuel was his name, God with us. And as we can read in Isaiah chapter 44, where God speaks and states, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." God the Father speaking of his Son, God's Redeemer, God's only begotten Son, that he gave in his love to the world and for the world, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Two things are given here. Redeemer, one that redeems the sinners, buys them back, pays the price, and then also called the Lord of hosts. There will be many. In comparison now, it may be few. As Christ said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it." But some of those few were here at Colossae. And not only did Paul tell them what we read some weeks ago, and just read again a few moments ago from verse 13, "Delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." The kingdom that of which Christ spake to Nicodemus and said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Christ is particularly the way, the truth, and the life in that kingdom. He is the door. He is the light. He is all those different things in completeness, in wonder, in fullness. And here, as we read in the 20th verse, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." When I think of this, I think of George Whitefield, the evangelist, the 1740s. Came from England to this country, the United States, a number of times and preached, had a great following, and he stated that we had to know our original sin, we had to know our actual sins of disobedience, and we had to know our sin of unbelief. And I think of that when I read this, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Part of our wicked works are disobeying the law. But another part of our wicked works are refusing Christ. As the Lord Jesus gives that wonderful verse that I quoted part of a little while ago, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." But right after it, he states, "Men love darkness rather than light." And then even a stronger statement following that, "Everyone that does evil hates the light." That is the worst wicked work that we can do. Hating the light. Hating God's love in giving his Son. And it was proven in his life when he spoke. Hatred began to rise more and more. Along the way, they tried to kill him. And at times when they did, we read in the Gospels, his time was not yet. But then his time came, and he was delivered to be crucified. Just before that, as we recorded in John chapter 15, he said, "They hated me without a cause." He said, "If I had not spoken to them the words that I spoke, they would not have hated me. But now they hate both my Father and me." Hatred. Hatred. Christ said so. And you have to believe his words as well as his death and his resurrection. If you ignore his words, then you are not believing in the Lord Jesus of the Bible. You are not believing the Savior of the world if you think he spoke differently, or if you think you are different than he spoke. This must be believed. That's how he brings us to himself in repentance. He is the shepherd that goes out in the wilderness and finds that which is lost. He was doing that here through whoever he sent to Colossae. They were reconciled to God. As Paul said to another church, the Corinthians, he says, God was in the world, reconciling the world unto himself through Christ. And as I referred to, Paul also said, oh, be ye reconciled to God. Listen to him. Yes, faith cometh by hearing. The object of faith is Christ and his death. But to know about it, we must hear the message that brings us guilty before God, knowing we need a pardon. And that's where the change comes. That's where the new life begins, with a pardon. Up to that time, we're bound. Up to that time, we're in the prison house. We could say both by Satan having us prisoners in the darkness, but also under God's wrath, being punished, being left in unbelief. Probably not knowing it, but it's still true. We were without God and without hope in the world, and if we're without hope, it's a prison house, whether we know it or not. Many people in the church don't know it. I didn't know it for many years. But God, in his grace, taught me that I was with Paul, one of the chief of sinners, and then alienated enemies in your mind. Yes, that was there in this Gentile city. But it's also true in Jerusalem, where Christ was crucified and led out to Golgotha's hill. Was hatred less there than at Colossae? Was hatred less there than in Corinth? Or less than in Rome? Or less than in Philippi, where Paul was and was put in prison, and the Philippian jailer was saved, as well as Lydia and others, and the church had its beginning there? All of us together, as Paul asked the question when he writes to the church at Rome, are we better than they? His answer is in no wise. We like to trust in our privileges. We like to trust in the place we've been born. We like to trust in our church. And if the church is telling the truth, we can trust in the truth that will set us free. But it will be in part repentance. Yes, in part repentance. One of the catechisms states, what three things must I know to live and die happily? And the first is, how great my sin and miseries are. Should we then turn around and say, but they're not as great as others? They're not as great as those in the world? Then we're not learning how great our sins and miseries are. We talk about hatred between colors. We talk about hatred between minorities and majorities. We talk about hatred between different ways of sin and things that used to be what they called closet sin. Now they have Pride Day. And those that say that still sin are spoken of as hating. Say that God doesn't hate. God says very plainly, I hate putting away. God hates sin. He punishes sin. And for many, that's all they will have is punishment. Think about it. That's all they will have is punishment. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. Christ pictured Abraham nearby. The rich man saying, send Lazarus back to my brother so they don't come into this place. He knew what they were headed for. He knew what it was all about. A place of torment. no peace whatsoever with himself or with God. And here we have read verse 20 of Colossians 1. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, entirely, yes, entirely, I say it again, entirely what he did, not what I did. I sinned, he died for those sins. Just think of it, it's that plain. I sinned, he died for those sins. What did I do? Had to acknowledge my guilt. Without hope and without faith in the world, without God. And even as Paul said to the Galatians, before faith came, we were shut up under the law. In Romans 3, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Yes, I say again, it starts with a pardon. It starts with forgiveness. It starts with knowing our guilt and knowing Christ died for those sins through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. And Paul says, by him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. Those that are already in heaven have been reconciled by Christ. We already mentioned Abel. Abraham believed on him that justified the ungodly. Most of the Jews and most of the church don't think of Abraham that way. We like to say, well, I'm like Abraham. Have you learned, like Abraham, that God had to justify an ungodly man? Not like God? Ungodly. But God could justify. That's what Paul tells the church at Rome as well as those here. God is just and the justifier of those that believe in Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the way of the gospel being applied by God. Christ died those 1900 and some years ago. But that must be applied to you and me in a pardon, in forgiveness, in the new birth, in the teaching of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and given by God, leading us to himself through Christ by grace.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.